Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. A couple of things that we missed. Deshaun Watson, we didn't talk about this. February 22nd, his deposition date. February 22nd. Apparently, the alleged victims won't start until September. Their depositions can't start before September 13th or some date, something like that. That's when they will start. Maybe they'll all be done, and then Deshaun February 22nd, and we'll see about the outcome. All right. Is there a settlement with all 22 before he gets to his deposition, February 22nd?
No.
No?
I don't. Well, before what's the date again?
February 22nd.
God, I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too.
February 22nd. I was thinking it was.
I don't think by the when it gets here, all of the other women have testified. Deshaun's going to have a lot of very difficult questions to answer in his deposition, which I don't think they're going to want. I think that they're probably going to settle before that. If I was a betting man.
You need to get it. You need to get it out of the way so that you can get all your, like, if you don't get your potential suspensions, they might have them time served if he set out, but you don't want to take that chance. So while you're waiting, you might as well get it knocked out so that you can get your suspension out of the way.
Right.
Because you're going to get something. I heard a case made the other day, John, that this does not fall under some of the same mandates we've seen in the past. For suspensions, that when you look at what the final tally is going to be, if there's no criminal charges, and if the NFL's investigation shows some extenuating circumstances, because they are going to go deeper, everything that Rusty Harden's side has, they're going to give to the NFL, and some of it probably isn't flattering about some of the accusers, and so. You know, maybe whoever makes the decision over there is going to say, I don't think it's going to be a one-year suspension for Deshaun. I don't see how it could be when you take into account all of the other, you know, we have precedent with other different types of suspensions. I just don't think Deshaun is suspended for a year. As a matter of fact, I think 8 would be the highest number we would see.
8 is the highest number for suspension? Well, yeah. Especially if he sits out this entire year on the exempt list, then I think some of that will be time served because if he does because well unless they say listen you're I don't know I have no
what
idea.
If it's settled in July what if it's settled in July
oh
what would you make the over
I don't think that's a possibility though that's why I'm not gonna if it's really settled in July I just don't see that as a
what about August? I mean, you don't think by this before the start of the season?
No. I don't think there's any chance of that.
That's good for either side, to be honest with you.
No, and I think this is going to drag on through the entire season, and I think Deshaun's going to be exempt the whole season. And then if he's exempt the whole season, I think it lessens the suspension because it's some of that'll be time served. So I think whatever team gets him in space in at least 4 games, possibly 8. And that will lessen Deshaun's value, but it won't crater it. So that I don't see a way around him being exempt. If you want to know the truth, we'll see if they do settle it before the start of the season, then then I can certainly see where he will play this year and play for another team. The Texans can get a trade done. But if not, I don't see how he possibly gets on the field. I just don't. Last night in the NBA, two crappy games, actually. Unless you were a Bucks fan, 10 three-pointers made in the first quarter. 10 three-pointers and 22 for the game. 22 of 53. That's pretty good shooting. After they were crappy in game one, they made just 5 of 31, did the Bucks in game one. Game two, 22 of 53 in a blowout win. And then Denver blew out Portland as well. So we had two, after a pretty damn good start to the weekend, no? There were some good games this weekend in the NBA. Good playoff games. We saw a lot more intensity than we had seen any time in the regular season. And so that was nice. And then we had two stinkers last night. So,
you know, but here's the thing with, that game was Milwaukee came to play. Miami shot terribly. It's two games in a row. Miami shot awful from distance. And they're not going to. It's going to be hard to get there let's be honest. I mean, Milwaukee played really great. I watched that one, and they jumped on top of them quick, and it was just second half was just nothing but a boat race. But you know what was interesting is that Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans, he took a screenshot of an old Miami Heat fan site that did a poll. Would you give up Tyler Hero for James Harden? And it was no was 51% and yes was 49%. And he just said, never forget. I mean, Dell, as a Heat fan, I don't know where you stood on all that stuff, like where exactly you stood, but were the Heat even, I mean,
Rocket,
I don't know.
Look, Rocket's Twitter.
Is that even a thing?
Rocket's Twitter has bastardized that entire conversation. And sure, okay, a segment of the fan base really loves Tyler Hero. He's their guy. That happens. There's just some thought out there that they wouldn't trade Tyler Hero for James Harden. That wasn't the deal. The Rockets wanted everything. They wanted, give us Duncan Robinson. Give us everything. And turn the Heat and give us all your remaining draft picks. The sticking point wasn't Tyler Hero. It's that the Heat thought to themselves, sure, we could have James Harden and Jimmy and Bam, but that's all we'd have. And I guess maybe they didn't think it was enough, or maybe they didn't even have enough picks that the Rockets would have wanted. Look, Rockets Twitter loves that for some reason, even though James isn't their player and he's not here anymore. But that's the thing they like to lean on, because I guess they got into some back and forth with Heat fans over this, you know, some discourse on Twitter. But it wasn't a thing. The Heat would have gladly given up Tyler Hero. They just weren't going to give up the entire franchise outside of Jimmy and Bam. That's all.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if the Rockets, if that would have been what the Rockets wanted draft picks, but they did want young talent. I mean, Tyler Hero did fit into that category, without question.
If the Rockets wanted a lot of picks, the Heat were the wrong team to come to, because their picks are, in fact, the Rockets are going to maybe get a pick swap this year from the Heat through Oklahoma City. So the Heat don't have picks to give. And which means they would have had to give up more players, and that's just something they didn't think they could get through a season.
Now, looking at it, would you have given up Duncan Robinson? Would you have given up Tyler Hero? Would you have given up draft picks?
I don't know what the entire package would have been, but they were willing to give up a lot, and maybe the Rockets just asked for something a little bit more that they weren't going to do. But the Tyler Hero thing is fun because he's the skinny white kid who had a good bubble and now he's not playing that well. But it's not real. That wasn't the discussion. And I don't know the entirety of the deal. We're never going to know. But the Heat apparently determined you can't have seven players and then picks. That was allegedly part of the deal. You want all these guys and then our picks. How are we going to field a team? And I guess they said that was too much.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was on Kenny Mayne's last show last night. Kenny Mayne said goodbye to ESPN. He had Aaron Rodgers on. Aaron Rodgers said that his goal in that interview was to not get fined. That was his goal. And Kenny Mayne finished up, I guess, with Marshawn and Sue Bird, Marshawn Lynch, because they're Seattle people. Mm-hmm. They're all Seattle people. So Kenny Mayne saying goodbye. Kenny Mayne was pretty good. He was really, really good at ESPN. You enjoyed a lot of his work. It was funny and whatnot. I think he's probably lost his fastball, a little bit. So he's walking away. The rumor was that They did offer him for him to stay, but at a pay cut, and he didn't want it. I don't know. That's a possibility. Whatever the case may be, Kenny Mayne is leaving. But he asked Aaron Rodgers about, you know, why do you want to trade? And here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say.
I think sometimes people forget what really makes an organization. And, you know, history is important, you know, legacy of so many people who've come before you. But the people, that's the most important thing. The people make an organization. People make a business. And sometimes that gets forgotten. You know, culture is built brick by brick, the foundation of it by the people. You know, not by the organization, not by the building, not by the corporation. It's built by the people. And I've been fortunate enough to play with a number of amazing, amazing people and got to work for some amazing people as well. And it's those people that build the foundation of those entities.
With my situation,
sometimes we forget that. It's never been about, you know, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. You know, he a lot of fun to work together. I love coaching staff, love my teammates. You know, I love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, you know, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way.
Okay. So he talks about it's about people who build this. Yeah, people like Ron Wolf, people like, you know, Brian Gutekis. Gutekis has not been there as long as like Ron Wolf was or Ted Thompson. But he talks about the entity. He talks about this. He takes this overarching view of the organization and the entity. But the reality is, of all the organizations, the Green Bay Packers are the most unique in all of football, because they don't have a true boss. And I remember Alonzo Highsmith told us about that. Like, it's weird going to other teams because you don't really have, other than the GM, and you have Mark Murphy, but who's the president, I guess. But it's not the same as having an owner that, you know, is just – he found out the hard way going from Green Bay to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where you have Haslam. He found out the hard way. But this doesn't make – I mean, look, this is about Aaron Rodgers wants more say-so. He wants to be able to call the shots. Aaron, that's why he had an issue with McCarthy. That's why, you know, he's had issues with Ted Thompson. Aaron Rodgers has some diva. There's just – you can't get around that. That's what he has, and that's what he is. He is a phenomenal player. But if you call out LeBron for some of this stuff, you got to call out Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers has been the exact same way. Both are phenomenal players, but at some point you have to make sure that he stays in his lane, because there are lanes for everything. And Aaron is trying to – and I think Aaron is just tired of being in Green Bay. And that's normal. That's not that unusual. But when he says it's a cultural thing – and
well, I think what he means – he just –
what does he mean
didn't say
exactly?
He doesn't like Gutekunst. That's it. He doesn't like –
yeah.
He doesn't
just
like –
say that.
He does, yeah. I don't like the – he said that. It's either him or me. I mean, he doesn't – he does not like Gutekunst. He has said, I like my coaching staff. All my teammates, I've loved everybody that I work with up until now. Now there's it's Gutekunst. He does not like him. So, and the Packers aren't getting rid of him to placate.
Not yet.
And you know, Deshaun. Well, Deshaun, I think what we've heard behind the scenes is, you know, Cal sell the team. Because, you know, if I'm Deshaun, I you know what? You can almost agree with Deshaun on this. The leadership just sucks. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in any of you people, and I can certainly understand that.
If that's what drives him,
yeah.
If that was the thing, yeah, then that's fine.
The rest of my career, you guys,
however,
this group is going to be making all the important decisions and make good important. Because far, it's really, really been bad.
All correct. But do you say, okay, Deshaun, pick our coach? No, you absolutely do not. You don't have a guy. Now, do you listen to him? Do you placate him? Do you all that stuff? Absolutely.
Well, then they did, and they didn't. They're too stupid to. Stupid to do it.
I'm making a distinction here. You do that, but you don't let any quarterback. These are guys who can try to force their way out at any time, and we're going to see that more and more from now on. This is the new norm. You never let guys who can get out of there whenever they want by making it uncomfortable. decide on a whole team.
Yeah.
They don't – like, this is an organization. It's – every organization is bigger than the individual person. The Green Bay Packers have existed and won championships long before Aaron Rodgers. Now, he is a phenomenal player, and he's going to go down as the greatest Packer in history to me. But like I said, you have to kind of call out some of Aaron Rodgers' stuff. Like, this is about his own personal stuff. This is not about, well, brick by brick, the individuals are building. Yeah, and all the guys that you've talked about, they were individuals that built up the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. It is built by individuals.
Well, right. And it,
they have a different job than you.
He doesn't like that individual, that one that's leading the way right now. 8:14. Well, he kind of did, even though he kind of did. 8:14 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, the Astros' bullpen got a little bit closer to being better. We'll tell you why.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
But I was just trying to execute pitches, how I would do it up there, and I'll work on the high fastball. But I didn't do that in my first start. I was just trying to throw strikes in general. So today was more of a real game where I was trying to get, you know, strikeouts in certain spots, elevate the fastball, work off of that, and be able to do it, cut loose. And that's really what I really wanted to get out of it. It's just health, be healthy when I finished. And, you know, not only was I healthy, I felt like I could have gone, you know, 90-plus pitches. So I'm good to go. We'll see where we go from there after, you know, we have an interesting schedule coming up, but I'm ready to slot in. I've had enough rainouts down here where I can be pushed back a day or two, and it doesn't really affect me.
That was Jake Odorizzi. Last night he threw 4 2/3, 5 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts, 77 pitches, and 54 were strikes. So he said in his first start he was just trying to, you know, hit the plate, and so he wasn't sharp. It was more like actual pitching this time, and looked pretty good, which is a good sign, a really good sign. After Fromber threw well the other night, Odorizzi threw well here. Apparently, Urquidy is also scheduled. Looks like you could have Fromber, Urquidy, and Odorizzi all back within a couple, 3 weeks. All back maybe within 3 weeks right now, which would be pretty damn good. You're going to get through this is the toughest part of the schedule without those guys, so that kind of sucks, but oh well, it's a long season. If you get them back by mid-June, Javier and Garcia go to the bullpen. You bolster the bullpen for long relief and even short relief. You know, Enoli Paredes is a mess that he can't throw strikes. It's just a mess. So that's a real problem. He's got to clean it up. Joe Smith is obviously a problem. Stanek is a problem right now. Everybody's a problem right now except Presley. Everybody's a problem right now. There was a picture on Twitter of this beautiful, looked like some foreign sports car, Lamborghini or whatever, and it's parked under a porte-cochere of some, looked like a trailer. It was a dump of a house. And it said, here's Presley in the Astros bullpen. He's a Lamborghini in a dump. And it's kind of true. I mean, he did give up he got the loss the other day, but only because they had to bring him back for a second inning, which never works. We all know that. So if Garcia and Javier go to the bullpen, maybe you saw enough out of Tyler Ivey that he can come back for some long relief. Peter Solomon, a possibility as well. Baez, no one knows where he is. I think he's on. I don't know if he's in witness protection or something. No one knows where Baez is. No one's seen him. No one. All he does is just get paid. I think he just picks up his checks and then no one sees him again for a week. Would you trade for somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it. You kind of wait it out, and I think you want to see what happens when your arms get back. But you also want to give some guys a chance to work out of it. But here's the thing. You had a shortened season last year. We forget how short the season was. You had such a shortened season that you can't really say with any certainty that Andre Scrub was the real Andre Scrub. You can't say that. You don't have anything that tells you that Paredes is a guy who you can count on over the long haul. I mean, you can want to believe that, and you can be excited about it. Presley is a guy who has – so who are the pitchers in your bullpen who have a background of success a resume, as it were, where you can say, okay, I can lean on this, that this is who this guy could be. Can you say that for Stanek? Can you say it for Rayleigh? Can you say – like, who can you say that for in the Astros bullpen? Remember last year they were a really young bullpen it was their first time pitching in the bigs. Well, now it's their first time trying to complete a full 162 games in the big leagues because they were in a shortened season last year. Who are the guys that you know have a background that you say, okay, they're reliable?
No. Well, if Javier goes to the bullpen, then you got.
But even he is a guy who hasn't pitched a ton, and you want Javier throwing more strikes than. You don't want him putting people on base as a bullpen guy. Longer relief, that's fine, but not if it's going to be, in the eighth inning.
Six walks, but he's been really good. He's been really good. So I'm going to just dismiss the one outing where he had six walks.
Well, it's his whole season so far. His strikeout to walk total is off this year.
His strikeout to walk total right now.
He has higher walk this year.
He's got 58 strikeouts and 21 walks. It's almost 3-1.
Well, look at it from last year. Look at his walks this year versus last year. He's already higher in fewer innings. It's a little bit of a concern for me.
Yeah. So last year he had in 48 and two-thirds innings.
18?
He had 58 strikeouts. Oh, no. He had 54 strikeouts and 54 innings pitch. He had 54 strikeouts and 18 walks.
Right.
And he's at 58-21 right now. It's not that far off. It's not that far.
But it's you want to see him get better at it.
Yeah. The last game, that was the anomaly. I mean, he's actually been pretty good. He had six walks last game. That really put it out of whack. Before that, he was pretty damn good. He was actually better than he was last year. So hopefully that was just one bad outing. Hopefully that was one.
No, I like him. Trust me. I'm a Christian Javier fan. I'm just saying if you're going to stick him in a bullpen, I'm talking about innings 7, 8, and 9. You're talking about when he was in a bullpen last year in the playoffs, it was really more inning 5, 6, and sometimes 7. He did have that one game where he went all three innings and went through there. But, yeah, I think if you just look at the construct of the bullpen, unless somebody starts really coming up and has a strong month, and I don't mean just like three good games. I mean a strong month. Then you are going to have to consider getting veteran help.
Well, right.
That's who Baez is supposed to be.
Right. I mean, Abreu, figure it out in the minors. I know you can't count on Belak, although he does. But he's got, listen, again, he's got one hand tied behind his back. Scrub. If Blake Taylor comes back and he looks a lot better than he did to start this season, he looks more like he did last year, that'll be a big lift to the bullpen. Maybe Solomon, maybe Ivy. You got to count on Brooks Rayleigh because you need a left-hander. I mean, maybe it's Emmanuel. Maybe Emmanuel stays, and he's a guy that you can count on. But you know, when those three come back, when those three get back, and if Baez ever shows up this year, if we ever see him, then you got a chance to be okay. Especially if these guys come back and you're going to hope that they can go six innings. You're going to hope that they're not 98 pitches in 4 2/3. You're hoping that these starters, these better starters coming back, are actually going to give your bullpen fewer innings. You got to hope. That's got to be Fromber. I mean, if Fromber gets back to his form from last year, what a bolster to that bullpen. Just forget the starting. What a bolster to that bullpen it's going to be.
we need to, when we come back, we need to play this video. Have you seen it, John? Dell, I think you may have to clean it up. I'm not sure. But your boy, Brooks Koepka, is at it again. This time, he's salty about Bryson DeChambeau in an interview. Brooks Koepka is really making some fans now.
Well,
he got interviewed, and I guess he rolls his eyes about Bryson DeChambeau, and I think he drops, I don't know, some language.
Well, you know they've got history.
What's their history?
Oh, Bryson DeChambeau was working out, and he gave Koepka
bench pressing, no doubt.
He gave Koepka the business. Well, this was before he put on all the weight. He said, "Look at my six pack, Koepka." And then Koepka came back. Well, look at my four pack, and he had his four major championship trophies.
Yeah, that's a dab right there.
Look at my four. Yeah, and he did dab on him. He dabbed. So he said, "Look at my four pack, and you don't have Bryson." And so the two of them have history. So all right, when we come back, we'll hear from Brooks Koepka dissing on Bryson DeChambeau. 8:27, 8:28 now on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 830, 713-780-3776. So apparently Brooks Koepka, you don't have it?
No, it's – well, I have it. It's just not audio – it's not really playable until you jack up the audio.
Oh, it's
bad. And then it just sounds terrible.
And so it's bad audio?
It's that bad?
What did he say, Lance?
It's in your – the guy sent it to all of us, C. Beasley.
I didn't see it. I'm pulling from someplace else.
Okay, because he looked like he had a pretty good version, but I'm not 100% sure. So we'll just wait. Wait until we see if we can get a better version of it if need be.
Well, there is a breaking story.
Because this has 6.9 million views, so people are watching it.
Mm, okay, so we'll see if you can't find that one, Del.
It's the same clip. I pulled it directly from ESPN. They linked to it.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. But it's inaudible? You can't.
Got to mess with it.
Okay, see. In the meantime, though, there's a breaking story here. Apparently, WWE superstar Alexa Bliss. Do you know her?
No.
No, I don't either. She's a WWE superstar, though. She is mourning the death of her pet pig, Larry-Steve, claiming the animal died in severe pain after multiple veterans turned them away because he was just too big. He's a pig, and he was too big. And so she said she called like 13 different vets, and they said, "Nah, I don't work with pigs. They just should die, and then we should eat them."
What?
Well,
no, but they didn't say that to her.
They didn't say that. I added that part.
I'll eat the pig, too.
No. His usual pig vet said she's not comfortable treating him in his current condition. Larry is very ill, can't move or walk, in a lot of pain. Most vets are not comfortable treating pigs. If anyone knows of a pig vet, please let her know. But now it's too late. She posted on Instagram, "This morning, Larry Steve gained his angel wings. I'm so sorry we couldn't find you help you needed, the help you needed in time. Some people didn't agree to help you, but I want you to know, Larry, your life mattered," in capital letters. "We are completely heartbroken. R.I.P. Larry Steve." Lance, Larry Steve died, and he has his angel wings now.
Okay.
How big do angel wings have to be for a pig?
I mean, not any...
You can't have little angel wings. They got to be gigantic, like dragon wings.
To lift it up.
He's a fat pig.
Yeah, you got to have some big wings.
He's a really fat pig, too, by the way.
Yeah.
My question is, and there's a picture of Larry Steve in her house. You know, she's got nice vases, and she's got nice furniture and everything. Is the pig dumping all over the house? I mean, does the pig know where to dump? Does.
No, you're not going to. The pig's not going to be house trained. The pig's dropping pig bombs all over her house, probably.
I mean, do you really want to? He's a pig. You know he's a pig, right?
Yeah.
So he's gonna be filthy. He's a filthy animal. That's what pigs do. They like to slop around. So he died the day before his fourth birthday. I think there's some good eating in there. He's got a lot of fat, though.
There's some good eating in there. Don't worry about it. Yeah, there's good eating.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just seems to me that you shouldn't have a pig. That's just me, though. I don't know. Do you want a pig as a pet?
At all, you shouldn't have one.
No, my kids were pig enough. I don't need a pig. I don't need my kids' rooms. It looked like a pig stayed there. It was a pigsty. Have you? Yeah, pigs aren't. Isn't that enough that you have kids? They're sloppy enough. I don't need a pig. I don't want a pig.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who WWE superstar Alexa Bliss is anyway, though, too.
You'd like to know that?
Well, if you're a superstar, shouldn't people know who you are?
Isn't that
the definition of a superstar? People know you?
I think so.
You don't know every soccer superstar, so it's just something you're not into. And I think they call all of their players, all the people who do that superstars. It's kind of the thing. It's like, this is WWE superstar Joe Schmo. I think that's just what they call the people they promote superstars. Yeah.
They're not just WWE
They're
wrestler.
Not wrestlers. They're
Everybody's
superstars.
A superstar.
Not everyone, but the people who they are backing and putting stuff behind, they call them superstars.
Okay, now wait. Here's what Tom in Downtown says. Alexa Bliss is a character, is a crazy woman. So this thing about the pig could be a storyline. And if you've seen Alexa Bliss, she is nowhere near a pig. Let me tell you, he said. And then he sent a picture to us.
Oh, yeah. No, Alexa Bliss is... Wow, she is a superstar. Now I agree. Now I agree with the whole Alexa Bliss superstar thing.
John is an ally of women.
Yeah.
Oh, she is a superstar.
Yes, she looks like a superstar to me. Oh, but she's a nut job, huh?
No, and I guess her character is what he's saying.
Oh, I see. Well, as far as that whole chart, hotness versus craziness.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a little fella, too.
She is?
5'1".
5'1"?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one cares about that. I mean, the rest of her, she looks like she's a giant superstar.
Got a Harley Quinn vibe to her. If anyone knows the Batman comics.
Yeah. She's got, and she actually, I think she's leaning into it with the eye black and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems what that's about.
Yeah, it does. She does have that feel. No, good for Alexa.
Well, her
but
pig
she has
died,
a pig,
though.
So Chris is, he's calling in to, I don't know if it's the same Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Yeah.
How y'all doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Hey, man, I don't know how much y'all know about pigs, but pigs are actually highly intelligent. I have a potbelly pig that was potty trained at 2 months old to use a litter box.
Oh, yeah?
What? So, having a pig, I guess.
Yeah, they actually have the intelligence level of a 3-year-old child fully grown. So, they're actually really smart, smarter than most dogs. So just a little bit of information for y'all there. But no, they're really great house pets, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So she had it. Apparently, anyway, she had it as a baby, and it's near 4 years old, and she loved it. Yeah, I see that. Oh, you don't know Alexa Bliss. I know her now. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. That's why she's a superstar, I guess.
I appreciate Chris calling about pigs because I was watching a show called Domino. It's about ancient Rome or whatever. And they were sacrificing. You got to sacrifice an animal to the gods or for a wedding. And they brought this pig in. And one of the characters was like, I really wish they wouldn't bring a pig. They're actually more intelligent than you think. They always know what's coming. And the pig saw someone holding a knife and started to freak out because the pig was like, you're not going to gut me. Right? And
Wait, excuse me?
The pig knew that it was time to die. So Chris is right. Even the ancient Romans knew the pigs were intelligent.
Huh.
And the guy's like, I wish they wouldn't do this because a pig is going to start squealing and making a mess. And the pig did.
It did.
Before they gut him.
Well, so that movie, That'll Do, Pig. What was that one?
I don't know. Oh, it's called, not Arnold. Uh-uh. Yeah, it was a, no.
no, where the pig no. was, the, she- yeah, yeah, was yeah. the shepherd. The pig no. herded it, all
James,
the.
James, what's his name, won an Oscar for
it? It was Babe.
Babe.
Yeah, Babe.
Babe. That was a good movie. That pig was smart, too. Yeah.
Didn't that pig talk?
Yeah, the pig dumps all over, though. I don't know. Rest in peace, Larry. God, a giant. God, Concept Mayhem, don't do that anymore. Don't. Ugh. Anyway, so rest in peace, pig. Rest in peace, Larry Steve. The Alexa. That's a shame, though, that Alexa was so close to that pig and it died. She is a smoke show.
So it makes her emotions more valuable?
Yes.
Hold on, is she the one
everything
who
about her is more valuable.
Offered
what a terrible
up to us
person
as an,
you are.
Was she the one who was offered up to no. us as an interview? Okay.
No.
It was someone else.
Cuz I wondered John
Larry Steve
now.
Had almost 90,000 followers on Instagram.
Really?
Yes, I'm sure, obviously a page created
did
by
Did he
him.
Have a blue did he have a blue check?
No. He okay, was just a care. Pig that Alexa Bliss, you know, took pictures of and created an account for. And I guess this ongoing Instagram was since he was a little piglet. So he had a big following. And now, man, he's dead.
Rest in peace, pig.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rest in pig. That's what RIP stands for.
I just,
did
all
he win
I
an was... Oscar, by the way, for
who,
for Babe?
Who, Babe?
James Cromwell?
Did the actual pig win an Oscar?
No. James Cromwell. By the way, that actor is 6'7". I had no idea that guy was that big.
He looks like he's that big, yeah.
Yeah, he looks tall, but 6'7"?
What kind of noise does a pig make when he knows he's going to be slaughtered? He squeals like a pig.
Yeah, it squealed and it was loud and started. Ooh, it was a rough scene to the start of a show.
Yeah. Apparently they're capable of being house trained. Huh. Wow, Chris, thank you for that all that information.
And James Cromwell did not win an Oscar. He was
nominated.
He was nominated for Babe.
That'll do, pig.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this pig, you know, we need to maybe get a pig. So
yeah.
Nobody ever.
No, Miss Piggy's not real, David.
Speaking of people.
And did you see David, the Mockingdales?
The Mockingdales, yes.
Did you see the picture of them, Lance?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I've seen it. He puts it. Yeah, I've seen it 1,000 times.
Oh.
When he's posted that.
That's.
Yeah, this is nothing new for him. Trust me.
It's awkward. 840 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, guys, think of what was the biggest acquisition for each NFL team this offseason. There's a story here. The Texans.
Did they even put them on the list?
The Texans are on the list, and it's not nearly as exciting as some of the other teams' acquisitions this offseason. So it's 842 on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk about it.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. So, Lance, I watched that video that you talked about.
Yeah.
You can't. It doesn't really tell the story, just the audio. It's a okay. That's a visual kind of thing. Apparently, Brooks Koepka was doing an interview after his round. At the PGA, talking about how windy it was and everything else and how difficult it was putting and everything else. And Bryson DeChambeau was walking by, and Brooks Koepka just kind of stopped and rolled his eyes. The two of them, I think that they really do not like each other. It just seems that, you know, Koepka's just like, whatever, dude. Whatevs. Bryson DeChambeau is the Trevor Bauer of golf. Trevor Bauer pitching here tomorrow night. And
DeChambeau.
He uses all kinds of. If you ever saw I don't think it was a 30. It wasn't a 30 for 30. It was a one of those E60 things about Trevor Bauer and his training and how he goes about it, how he was disliked, but he and his father have put together a training routine for him that is just different than other pitchers do and everything else. And that's Bryson DeChambeau too. I mean, using technology as much as possible and using his own methods as opposed to, you know, the standard golf methods, that they're almost identical, the two of them. And they're outspoken and not sure that everybody on, you know, everybody in the league or on the tour is all that crazy about them. The two of them are a lot alike, DeChambeau and Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night we get Trevor Bauer. We get Kershaw tonight. Last time he was here, Lance, how'd that work out for him?
Not good.
No. Not good at all. With Yuli hitting a grand slam off him. How'd that taste, Clayton? All right. Maybe some horrific memories for you here. Or,
so the stands are packed then.
Yeah. Yeah. We're opening it up, baby.
I'm going to see what the prices are looking like right now.
See what they are. In the meantime, 846 on ESPN 97.5. The most exciting offseason addition for every NFL team. Arizona Cardinals?
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Pitts. Ravens, Rashad Bateman. A lot of these are their first-round draft pick, Rousseau. Carolina Panthers, Sam Darnold. Chicago Bears, Justin Fields. Cleveland Browns didn't have a great offseason. Jadeveon Clowney is there. Although, you know, on the other side, that's not going to be so bad. You know, hopefully, well, if Jadeveon Clowney ever, you know, lives up to his full potential, that will be actually, with Myles Garrett, I mean, that can be a formidable two bookend defensive ends, no? I mean, that could be really, really devastating for quarterbacks. Micah Parsons for the Cowboys. Kyle Fuller for the Broncos. He was their big acquisition. Who do you think the Texans' big acquisition is this offseason?
David Culley, but who else? Davis Mills, not... Oh, one-year Desmond King? Let me see. Defensive backs, offensive linemen. Can't be Justin Britt. I don't know who.
Nico Collins.
Okay.
Yeah. That's an exciting offseason.
Multiple picks. Well, we've lived through it. It has been an exciting offseason.
Yeah. Well, Houston had a nightmarish offseason cutting J.J. Watt and watching Deshaun Watson's off-field issues develop. With little cap room and few draft picks, Collins stands as their most exciting addition. The speedy Michigan alum could replace Will Fuller and become a big part of the offense immediately as a third-round pick.
This whole thing about this J.J. Watt narrative about what a disastrous, what a heartbreaking. Yeah, I mean, sucks to see J.J. go, but he's just not worth the amount of money that they're paying him right now.
No, but couldn't they have gotten a little something? Even I don't know what it could have been, even if it was a fourth rounder. Couldn't they have gotten a little something as opposed to just cutting him? I mean, they did swap picks to get Ryan Finley and then cut him. They just have no value whatsoever on even late round draft picks, I guess. None. They just kind of feel like draft picks are, and that's just a continuation of what Bill O'Brien started here.
Oh my gosh, we got to get to Julio Jones. I want to get you guys' thoughts on this. A lot of people think this is a really crappy thing that Shannon Sharpe did to Julio Jones. Dell, can you pull it up? We actually have time to play it. So on First Take, it was. Did you see this, John?
Mm-mm.
Did you see the story? So,
oh, I saw was, the story. I didn't.
Saw
I didn't
the story. See you haven't seen the video, okay? Yeah. So Skip Bayless is arguing with. I don't know. They're talking about, I guess, Julio Jones and leaving, and could he be a Cowboy? I guess he wore a Dallas Cowboys shirt or something like that. That's the thing you want to do when you want to piss your team off and get traded. And I think it's mutual. I think they're going to wait until after June 1st, but I think they will try to trade Julio Jones, and I do expect Julio Jones to be traded. And I'm telling you, we better watch out in this division, too, for potential Julio Jones.
We're hoping he comes to the division.
Why?
So that we can lose more games.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but he's going to be around, too.
Well, that's all right. He's going to get older, and you know him. He's going to get hurt.
Titans and Colts are two teams to watch with Julio Jones, and I think San Francisco 49ers
as well. He did say, I want to win, too, though. Remember that.
Well, I think Titans, Colts, and 49ers are all.
Colts, yeah, there's a good chance you win with the Colts.
Well, why not Titans?
Yeah, I guess.
They're like the same. I mean, same are they going to win
big?
Colts?
I don't know. Who do you have a better chance to win big with, the Colts or the Titans?
You trust Wentz or Tannehill more?
I still feel like Wentz. I don't know why. Well, because Tannehill, I've seen how he got him to the AFC Championship game, but
yeah, and they're still going to have Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
and you'd pair him with AJ Brown.
Yeah, no, that's two big wide receivers. No, that'd be. No, I guess that would be. Yeah, I guess they'll win. So play the audio, Dell, of Julio Jones. This was on First Take.
Now, here's Go ahead. I'm just going to explain. Out of nowhere, Shannon Sharp picks up his phone and calls Julio Jones on the show and puts it on speaker.
And it's Undisputed Fox Sports.
Same thing.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Same thing.
Well, one's on ESPN, the other's on FS1.
Okay, we are right, calling.
You watching Julio?
I really hope he answers here. Calling. We call? Okay, we are calling. We're calling.
Why is this?
You watching Julio?
I really hope he answers
here. I'm not sure why it's on
Julio,
repeat.
Have the guts to pick up the phone.
What's happening?
Yeah.
All right.
Julio.
Hold on. Let me put you on the
I got you. This is your favorite uncle. What's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. I'm about to go meet up with my brother. What's happening with you?
Man, look. You want to go to the Cowboys, Julio? Or you want to stay in Atlanta?
Oh, man. No, I'm out of there, man.
He's out of there. Are you going to... Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I want to win.
Okay. Well, don't go to Dallas. If you go to... You ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Man, listen, come on, man. You already know, I know.
Okay.
Can you remind him we're on television?
Ask him why I wore the Dallas.
Listen, you know how people is, man, with all that going on with the picture?
Yeah.
And all that, stuff like that.
Okay.
Man, I ain't never been on that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's it. Now, the question is, did Julio know he was on television?
And did it matter to him? He's already won. I don't think it's a big deal. He's already won a Dallas Cowboy thing. Did you think that was crappy what Shannon Sharp did to him? Some people think, dude, you set him up. He didn't know he was on TV. I think he probably told him I might call you or something. He may not have. He may not have, but I don't know that that's, you know, I don't know. I just feel like that may have been.
It might have been an ambush. It might have been. And we'll find out. Julio will tell us someday. Did you know you were on TV? And someday we'll find out. Neither here. I mean, man. Guess what? This is the future of sports, guys. Do you see the running back, the high school running back that's going to go to Texas that decided he's going to opt out of his senior high school year?
Yep, to focus on his health and his education, and then he wants to enroll early, which really wouldn't make any difference. He wants to enroll in the spring, but I don't see how that changed. You could play a football. A lot of guys play their senior year. Everybody who enrolls
ever,
in spring,
they ever,
yeah, you just take the steps from your. I mean, everybody on the team is going through the academic part, unless this kid is just not good with academics and has trouble staying eligible. If that's an issue, then that's fine. But I'm not a fan of that concept. And I know that I was reading something. There's a guy who is used to be with Baylor, and he's now with Matt Rhule in Carolina. And I know he said something. I think he was the one who said something on Twitter. Not a fan of it. He works for it, for the team. I think this is going to leak down. You know, I mentioned this before. It started off with just some guys bailing on the bowl games after Jalen Smith got hurt. And it was the two notable were obviously Fournette and McCaffrey. And those guys were beat up. They physically were beat up. I said, okay, well, you know, it's kind of a big deal that they're not playing in that. And then there was a rash of guys. the next step, and I'm telling you now, it has nothing to do with pandemic anymore. The phrase opt out is now in the lexicon, and this is teams, players are going to opt out because it makes them feel special. Like they, I honestly believe that there are guys who, you know, there are guys who opted out and really hurt their draft stock. Jamie Newman is the prime example. There are other guys who are really good, and it really didn't matter because Caleb Farley didn't play, and he was still drafted high even with multiple injury issues. Micah Parsons was drafted high. Now, could he have been drafted higher? Yeah, I think Micah Parsons could have been, but the thing that caused him to fall was really more about off the field than it had anything to do with football. And I think you're going to start seeing more and more. I think juniors, you're going to start seeing juniors not play their junior year of college football because they're going to opt out in preparation for the draft or whatever. And this is not the last guy we're going to see opt out of high school football. As he waits to go into college. And it's, I'm telling you, football people absolutely abhor this because they truly believe it shows a lack of love for the game.
It's on his resume now. It's on his resume now. And then, and we'll see. I mean, it's a business form already, and I don't know. So got a clarification on the Brooks Koepka stuff. So Brooks Koepka is doing an interview. It would look like with the Golf Channel. It was with a dude from the Golf Channel. And he's doing an interview. And as he's talking about, I found it difficult to read putts out there. And he was talking about the wind. And he said, I found it difficult to read putts. And as Bryson is walking by behind him, Bryson DeChambeau says, maybe you should hit it on the right line. And so Koepka just stops and he just, you know, kind of shakes his head and he says, well, I lost my train of thought having to listen to that bullshit. And only he said the other word. And so there's real, I thought, you know, this is playful with the four pack and the six pack thing that the two of them had going on. I don't know that this is playful. I don't think it is. No. It'll be interesting to see if they ever get paired up, maybe on a Sunday, in the final pairing. That would be a lot of fun. The two of them who apparently just don't like each other that much. That's good. That's good for the game. We got some villains, and we got some, I don't know which one is the hero and which one's the villain. If Brooks Koepka wore a super suit, it would be a thong, right?
He's done it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not afraid to show his thongness. 858 ESPN 975 713-780 3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 975.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.